Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Daily Program this morning. Now, first off, could you perhaps give us a little bit of an idea of the history of the house? What kind of gruesome events have actually led to the homestead's current haunted status?
Well, Mr. William Crawley was virtually the founder of Junee, and he built Monte Cristo virtually on the hilltop looking over the township. A bit of a power thing to be able to stand up there and overlook the township itself. But with money and wealth, I suppose, comes other things as well. Mr. Crawley had 10 children to his wife, but was also rumoured to have another 10 to the staff as well. Now, some of these maids got pregnant, and to get rid of an unwanted child, it was either a punch or a kick to the stomach, or you push them off something quite high to get rid of the child to cause a miscarriage. And there was one instance where a maid was upended over the balcony, and she hit her head on the top step and bled out, and actually died as a result. But, of course, the police report stated she committed suicide. So it has a very, very colourful history, and we have 10 resident spirits there. 10 people passed away on the property, which is not unusual. People died at home back then, but I can assure you some of them are not accidents.
Now, you yourself actually grew up in the house. Did you feel a presence, or have you had a run-in with these spirits yourself?
I sort of deal with them every day. I'm a little bit used to it now. Doesn't mean I go wandering around at night time by myself with a torch looking for trouble. But every Saturday night we run ghost tours, and I don't have a week go by that someone doesn't capture something on film, have an experience, or actually see themselves at the homestead.
So I imagine a few people must be fairly sceptical when they rock up. Me, myself, I'm a little bit of a believer in the paranormal. Certainly, you know, I like the evidence of my own eyes, but certainly I like to think there's a little bit more out there. But some people must be sceptical on arrival. Do you find, though, some non-believers are convinced in the supernatural by the time they leave?
9 times out of 10, if I've got someone that's a full-on skeptic, they'll have a change of mind before they leave. They actually get picked on a little bit more, the skeptics there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they've got a point to prove, but I think skeptics go with a bit of a different mindset, and they tend to hear and see things that the ones that are really wanting to see don't get to see. So, yeah, I find it quite funny sometimes that the skeptics are the ones that get hassled more.
And I must admit, even with my fascination with the paranormal, the supernatural, sometimes I think, well, why don't we just leave this well enough alone? You know, if there's ghosts, if there's demons, if there's spooky things going on about, why do we insist on poking them with a stick? You guys have been running it for quite a while. The family, the Ryan family's been running this one for 50 years. And as I say, you're running tours, you're running sleepovers. What do you think it is about people's fascination with these kind of spooky things that we just can't seem to help ourselves? We've got to get involved. We've got to try it for ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's just, I suppose, the curiosity of it all and wanting to see if it actually does exist. But then the majority of the people that actually come on our ghost tours have actually had some sort of spiritual experience or seen a past loved one or something like that. So I think they come to know a little bit more about it. But like I said, we get the skeptics as well because they don't want to miss out in case something does happen, of course.
And how did your parents actually go about restoring the homestead and making it sort of ready for tours and for sleepovers and for people to actually come and visit and commune with the spirits, as it were?
Well, my dad actually bought the house as a family home. We grew up in the house, and it was never ever meant to be a museum. And, of course, when they bought it, they had no idea of the history. It was only after being there for a couple of weeks that they went downtown to buy supplies, and coming back to the house, there was lights streaming out every door and window of the homestead. Problem being, though, there was no electricity on the house and all the doors and windows had been smashed out by vandals previous, so there was no way for all this light. And as they drove up to the homestead, as they entered the driveway, snap, all the lights went off instantly. That's when they knew something was a little bit more or a little bit different about their house.
Sounds like something right out of Poltergeist right there. Just as a final question, Lawrence, the title Australia's Most Haunted House, was there an official way that was actually determined, or how exactly does that one get decided?
It was a title given to us many, many years ago, before, I suppose, all these ghost hunting shows and things are on TV. We had a Ghost Hunting Society of Australia come to the homestead, and they'd been to a lot of different places and things, and when they left, they said, look, you are Australia's most haunted house. We've never got so much activity. We've never captured so much. And it's a title that's stuck with us, but we don't have more spirits than, say, you know, a hospital or a jail, something like that. We just have more activity than any other place in Australia. We have more photographic proof, audio and video than any other place.
Well, Lawrence, like I said, it sounds absolutely fascinating. Sounds like a real great night out to me. I really appreciate your time joining us this morning.
You're welcome.